This week on Clown College. All right, bud, this is funny. So I cover my ears and I'm like, hey, this is great. And the monkey is literally like trying to pull my fingers off of my ear.
Mm-hmm.
He's like mad that I've covered my ear. And I'm like, this is kind of funny. This is great. You know, and everybody's laughing. We're having a good time at that point. And then the monkey grabs the front of my shirt like this with one hand, puts his feet here. So he's like hanging in front of me, like right here. He's got a hold of my shirt and he's like hanging. And he's just staring at me. And I'm like, hey, man, I think you should come get your monkey probably. Like, this is not fun anymore. And I like close my eyes. I'm like, hey, man, get your monkey off of me. And the monkey fucking pimp slaps me.
Oh, damn.
And I was like, bam. I was like, what? You're like, did I just get slapped? I should probably kill the monkey right now, you know? And he was like, he slapped
He's
me in there.
Like that.
Oh, my God.
Thanks for the flashbacks, dude.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, that one on the right. He's looking dead at me and slapped me multiple times.
Welcome to Clown College. We have profound knowledge in many ways to elevate and make you sound polished. So if you want to hear a little honest few takes on our ways to make it as a comic, then stick around for a while if you're down to clown. We got the guests right now just to show you how.
Let's all go to Clown College, baby. Let's all go to Clown College, baby. It's with Brandon, Will, Stan, and JJ.
How we sounding?
Yeah,
sound good.
Yeah, sound fresh. Like your haircut, man.
Hey, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just got out.
You just got out the barber chair. I like it.
Do y'all play stuff?
Oh, yeah, so hit. I mean, sometimes I hit, do a little.
Do sound effect. You don't have
that.
To wear it, though.
You got that. Yeah, you don't have to wear it. And then we got this, but we never use that.
Use it today.
Too damn long. It's too long.
Nah, he please use it. Just randomly hit it, and we'll go, and we're back. Like, hell yeah. A commercial break? Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. Hell yeah. What's up? How y'all doing?
Man, I feel good.
Have we started?
Well, I don't know, but we got a special guest here, don't we?
Oh, here we go.
We do have a very special guest today. And sometimes we say we have a special guest and they really aren't shit, but
damn.
This guy.
Like, I know. You had David Lynam. You're like, special guest. I was like, not that special.
We got a for real special guest on today. A fucking local legend.
Ooh.
You can see him on productions like The Tonight Show.
God damn. Shit.
Which sounds insane to say. You can catch him every weekday morning on Jimbo and Cassio.
Damn right.
In the morning on Rocket 95.1. Or you could have catched him at Gadsden Community College, man. any of those things.
Only for a few semesters.
We got the Cassio kid in today.
Hey! Yeah. Get my theme music.
Oh, I got you.
And we're back. In the middle of my intro, we had a commercial break.
Hey, thank you for coming.
What's up, fellas?
Thank you, man.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for having me, man. This is an honor to be here.
Shit, it's an honor for us. You are the first celebrity that we have on here.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
And we're very
Whoa,
excited about
sad.
It.
Whoa, that's sad. That I'm a celebrity.
Dude, you're massive. I told you this before. Like, one of my friends was
All
like...
All right, that's a fat joke. That's the first one. Get that noise again. No.
Oh, this one.
Every time there's a fat joke, you get a fat thing. And we're back here at the Clown College podcast.
That's actually Cassio's shirt playing that song.
Oh, yeah. You know, we got another song, too, right?
This is so big, it was made out of real jungle. Hey-o!
Hey-o!
I should do that in my set.
Hell, yeah.
That is I need good. All the help I can get.
Oh, no, dude. You're a beast to stand up.
You are.
I think on the first showcase I did at Stand Up Live, you were the feature on there, and man, you blew that fucking crowd back.
Well, first of all, thank you.
You're a monster, dude.
Thank you. Not a good writer, but I have fun on stage.
It's effortlessly.
I'm a real bad comedy writer.
What?
Like the worst probably ever.
No. No, you're not. No.
Yeah, anything you've heard me do, I've never wrote down.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
You just come off.
I've tried to do better in the last couple years with notes, and I'll keep a headline or a thing I thought was funny. And then sometimes I go back and look at it. I'm like, whoa, I don't know what that meant. I must have been inebriated when I typed that in. I'm not the guy that's got notebooks and I'm keeping recording stuff. And that's also why my career has brought me here to the Clown College podcast and not somewhere else. But that's not my mindset, man. My mind can't work that way.
Mm hmm.
I figured out in high school how to, I was just intelligent enough to take the test and get a C and pass. So I was like, so I don't have to do homework? This rules. Yeah, but you need better grades. For what, really, though? Like, for what?
You are.
We all know I'm not going far or getting a real job. What am I going to need Brandon for?
Wait, what? No, I mean, yes, probably. Wait, what do we do? What do we do? Like, what test?
See?
We had 120 people in my graduating class, and I graduated number 60.
That's where you want to be.
That's exactly where I wanted to be. That's where you want to be. That's the C average, man. Mm-hmm.
That's the top of the bell curve.
Yeah. I was like cool with the dumb kids, cool with the smart kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For the smart kids, I was like the edgy guy.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. He got a D on his report card. He's a bad boy. And then for everybody else that I got to see, they were like, my man's smart. Dude, he's got it. He's got it, guys. He's funny and cool, and he's got smarts, too.
Triple threat, dude.
Yeah. I was a triple threat.
Oh, shit. So you're in radio. I listen to your show every morning from the time I get into work until 10 o'clock with you
but
and Jimbo.
But did you before you knew me? You didn't.
I did.
No, yes.
Okay.
I did.
I don't think young people listen to radio. It surprises me.
Well, I would go to the gym in the morning up in Ardmore, and they'd be playing it in the morning. I could never figure out how to change a channel. So I listen to it
every
morning.
He's like, I'd really like to play my playlist right now. And they got these goobs on the air.
I listen to radio, too, but it's like much older, you know, before our time, like in the 30s. I look on YouTube, and then sometimes like GTA radio. And then maybe I'll listen to the car.
So, like, you go to YouTube and type in 1930s radio just let a six-hour video play?
Sometimes I listen, like, what's that dude's name? He was an old comedian. His name was, what was it, Jack Benny?
Yeah.
And then he had, Mel Blanc. That's what I listen to a lot.
That's it, right?
Yeah. Or is it Mel LeBlanc? Let me see.
He did all the cartoons.
Yep, he did Bugs Bunny, Daffy.
Wait,
Sylvester.
You're going back to listen to him?
Yeah.
Sylvester.
How do you say it? Sylvester?
Man, that was a janitor at my high school that got fired for inappropriate behavior. Was Sylvester. Sylvester the molester. That's what we called him in high school. Sylvester.
Oh shit! Yeah,
he brought him up on the screen. Yeah.
That's
it'd be great if he did a million voices and none of them were Sylvester. Look at his IMDb. I don't see Sylvester. Oh, there he is, top right.
Yeah.
Unless he does Tweety, but Marky. I think that's Sylvester.
Oh shit! He did Fred. I was watching that last night.
He's a Jim Cassidy.
He's a Jim. Man, I've never made it until some random podcast is looking through my resume and they go, oh shit, he did Fred. Like, there's only Fred Flintstone and I don't know. What's Fred Savage? What's another famous Fred?
John Cena's son, Fred.
No. Some name Fred.
What the fuck is that?
Fred, you never seen the Fred movie?
That's a deep cut.
Oh, Fred, fuck.
Yeah, Fred Figglehorn,
man.
Dude.
Man, he's too
produced
old.
Produced by Dan
old.
Schneider.
Fred,
this is in 2011, his prime days, man. 2010, fuck. Close. Wrong now.
This is a movie?
Oh,
man,
yes.
That
amazing.
Took no time for us nerds to get to wrestling. I like it.
Fred, this is a crazy fact. He was the first person ever to hit 1 million subscribers on YouTube.
Yeah. What's
Fred
the fuck out of here? What, is that real?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Was, really?
Yeah.
He was the guy with the high-pitched voice that was just...
Mm-hmm.
His whole gimmick was just a voice filter that made him sound super high-pitched.
Wow. Yeah.
He was on iCarly?
Cool. I mean, I remember this, the wrestling aspect of it, but I didn't know it was a... First $1 million subscriber.
That's crazy.
Oh, so he was doing this before he made the movie.
Yeah, and yeah, that's what got him the movie.
Oh, okay.
He was the first one of those guys to like do that.
But isn't that genius for both companies? Nobody give him credit, but that's WWE staying on the pulse of what are kids doing?
Right.
What are
mm-hmm.
If you watch wrestling now, the majority of it ain't for us. We're adults.
Mm-hmm.
It's for kids and teenagers. Because when you think, man, what's the greatest era of your wrestling fandom?
Attitude.
It ain't now.
Mm-mm.
No.
It's when you're a kid or a teenager.
Oh, ruthless aggression, more attitude era. Golden era.
Right. You were a kid. That's exactly who they're marketing to, which is why they are bigger and better than ever. And all the adults are like, man, y'all don't know what it was like in 97. Guess what, kids don't care what it was like in 97.
But I will say.
They go, we got Roman damn Reigns.
Exactly.
The greatest champion ever. I mean, really, that's what they think.
He was.
Yeah.
Well,
but in our day, we had bra and panty matches. Come on. That was for kids.
Our era was clearly the best era. Yeah, I'm just saying.
There's
no kid born now. Where they've been from 5 to 10,
mm-hmm.
and their only champion was Roman Reigns.
Damn,
they're never going to be like, ah, man, I wish we had bra and panty matches.
No.
Dude, like, dude, we had matches. Roman Reigns. He was the champ for 5 years or whatever. How long he's been.
I forgot, you know what I mean? Like, how many years. Let me
it's
see.
A different. It ain't made for us, mm-hmm. bro.
We don't need bra and panty matches,
yes.
dude. We got to see Seth Rollins' dick on the internet, dude.
Dude, what? Are you
for
serious,
real?
Yes, man. Look it up, bro.
Let me say,
no, don't look that shit up.
I didn't know that was out there.
Yeah, I didn't either.
That's when Paige was out there.
That's what got me into wrestling.
I knew Paige and Oh, nicely done.
Yeah. Damn,
I knew Paige with Xavier Woods was out there.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Oh, yeah.
She had all of it. All on
Caitlyn, you remember Caitlyn, too?
What's that?
Caitlyn. Remember Caitlyn?
Wow, she worked at CVS. You remember Caitlyn?
This is
CVS?
When AJ
saw her
Lee.
Naked one time. It's just random.
It's more her.
Y'all remember Sarah at Captain D's?
Yeah.
She used to bring me cracklings to get naked. It was a hot time.
Yeah, her, when she used to go against AJ Lee a lot.
Mm.
Yep.
No, I don't, but I would like to.
2014.
I wish I would.
What about it, though, Brandon?
Oh, well, back in the day, you know, I was young. She had a porn scene. I checked it out.
She had an actual porn scene?
Oh, yeah. She made her own. She walked in like this.
Just leave that tab open.
I got you, man. Trust me. Back in the day.
She had her own porn scene?
Yes, she did. She or what they call it, a leak, but it's all over everything. Now you get on Pornhub, X-Hamster.
Yeah, I know how leak works. Thanks for telling me that, Brandon. He's like, here's what happens when your porn leaks. Now I got it.
We all see
it. Yeah. Yeah.
One night in Caitlin.
Oh, she's did an interview with Bleacher Report. Drugs were involved. That's not good.
Well, you know.
Wish her the best. Yeah, right there.
Isn't that every porn, though?
Oh, damn. She wants
wanting her to die.
Damn.
Well, let me tell you this. She's hot. I don't remember her, but she's hot.
Yeah, she is hot. I've never heard of her.
Shout out to that.
Yeah,
that one right below that one that you got highlighted.
Right here?
To the right.
Oh, to the right.
The one right below you had highlighted.
Below?
It's going to take a second.
Good directions.
Brandon said below
and
went
right
up.
There.
Yeah. This was like, her prime.
What, refresh?
Was that at the Straight Tail Speakeasy?
Yeah. Looked like it.
The I don't remember hole. Caitlin.
Man, these days.
So you do wrestling, like a podcast with a wrestler. One of the greatest wrestlers in me and Brandon's.
Wait. Hang on. Oh, okay. So you do know the new one.
Yes,
all
I
right.
Do.
Nice.
Then why don't you tell us about it?
I've done a bunch of wrestling podcasts. Yes. Currently, I have 3 consistent wrestling podcasts. I have we just started Papa Shango, Godfather. Papa Shango, whatever you want to call him.
Oh my God, that's
Charles
Papa Shango is Godfather?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, man.
Hell yeah, man.
He's
that's why he's
a
Hall of Famer, dude.
Fuck
oh,
yeah.
Shit. I just knew him as the Godfather.
Get on the road train,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, yeah, the smoke train.
Former owner of the Cheetah Strip Club in Las Vegas.
Ooh.
Damn. My man's seen some things. He met Undertaker in a biker bar when he was just a biker.
What?
Yeah. He played football at the University of Nevada, and then he started bouncing at strip clubs in California.
Mm-hmm.
And through some other things, fast forward, listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He met Undertaker. You know, Undertaker's a big biker. He's a biker. And they met, and he was like, you should check out wrestling because you look intimidating. He listened to rock music, had a mohawk, had the sleeve tattoo. This is, you know, way before sleeve tattoos are even
popular,
considered. Like. Yeah. So when that guy walks in, you're like, now imagine him with a mohawk. He's about 6'7", 300, you know.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's a big dude. Big dude.
Did he play football or something before that?
Played football at University of Nevada.
He just said that.
Yes, I said, okay, yeah.
Yeah, University of Nevada. He played, yo, guys are never going to believe this. He played football at the University of Nevada.
Oh, shit.
Look at him.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, he came back with the Nation of Domination.
Ooh, you remember?
Let me do that.
Domination.
That was when UFC was popping off. So, Nation
started.
Of Domination was Ron Simmons, D'Lo, The Rock eventually mm-hmm. came in there. They brought, oh, look at that. They brought Kama in.
D'Lo was in there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
D'Lo used to do his head like that.
So they would, oh, man, D'Lo's the best, dude. Yeah, so he came as Kama like the ultimate fighting machine because UFC was popping off.
Mm hmm.
So they're like, how can we tie these UFC fans in? So he came in like this.
Yeah.
And when he comes in at 6'6", 6'7", 300, like, yeah, my dude can fight. Yeah, just an incredible career of somebody who was not into wrestling. And of all people, The Undertaker tells you to get into wrestling. You're like, mm-hmm. well, he's pretty good. I mean, he wasn't at the time, but just... Like, you know, he was way ahead of where he was at the time.
Oh.
So he's like, yeah, okay, you seem cool. We're at the biker bar together. Whatever.
And he's one of the only people to get Undertaker to break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You remember that when he's talking about him. The whole...
No, wrong one. That's Kamala.
That's Kamala.
He be hitting his belly.
Yeah, not Kamala.
Ugandian giant. Damn, I didn't know she was in the WWE.
Add that to the resume.
There you go. You know, that's Undertaker's urn right there.
Yeah,
too.
So I do once a month. The Godfather just started that. I don't know when this comes out, but the second episode of that will probably drop by the time this is out. I just recorded it. And then every other week I alternate with former wrestling referees. I do a guy that was with WWE his whole career, Mike Chioda, who was The Rock's personal referee. He did a bunch with... some of your biggest matches you've ever seen, he was a referee. Chioda. I should have let you keep going there to see what we would
have
got.
Ooh, I have
there
seen
you
one.
Go.
Okay.
That's a good picture. Look at that.
When Hulkster, he's been in literally some of the biggest matches in wrestling history, but one of his iconic moments is Rock and Hogan when they did the face-off and started looking around at the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, like, wrestle for, like, 10 minutes. Like, they're just soaking in the crowd. But Rock, Hogan, stare down. He's standing there in the ring. He's in the background. He was the ref for that match.
Dude, that brings back so many memories right there.
Good time.
Go go right below the one you got highlighted. Let's see if you get it this time.
Right here?
Yeah.
Hey.
Oh, he's blocked. Kyoto's face is blocked.
Look, I got that same.
It's right there on two to the left.
Two to the left?
Two to the left. Ooh.
There you
right
go.
There. Right there.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Got that same young buck.
Kyoto, yeah, he was in WWE's career. And just a great dude, man. From Jersey, lives in Florida now. He's a Steelers fan.
Ooh, okay.
Jack.
I'm in there.
I knew somebody was here. and so we do a mailbag every other week. So people, all I do is ask questions of, if I see something in the news, kind of, but mostly it's just people that watch the podcast sending mm-hmm. questions. And then on the weeks, he does it every 2 weeks. And then the weeks he's not, I do it with another referee. which was Nick Patrick, who his famous moment was in WCW. He was the NWO heel ref, where he refed the entire pay-per-view when the NWO won every match because he was their own personal ref. Yeah.
Oh, he was
a lot of people say he looked like Kenny Powers back in the day. he had a next level mullet for a while.
He was an astronaut?
Dude. Look at that. That's Kenny Powers. Oh, Nicholas Patrick. Yeah, to the right. Yeah, that was Kenny Powers' mullet time.
Oh, my gosh.
Ooh.
His dad was assassin number one. Yeah. His dad was the assassin, which is a wrestling legend in the territory days. And he started Deep South Wrestling, which for a while, if you ever heard of OVW, which is the feeder into WWE, Deep South was their training. NXT is what it is now.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Deep South was that before they developed their own. Yeah, that was his dad.
Hell yeah.
The assassin. And he had a long feud with Bullet Bob Armstrong, which is huge in the Florida, Alabama territories. They had a huge rivalry. He was one of the great minds in wrestling.
Rest in peace.
There you go.
Let's get this one. That's a good one.
Dude was like an arm wrestling champion in his like 60s.
Damn.
There they go. So his rival was the assassin. And which was Jody Hamilton. And the funny part is for a couple years I got to do the podcast with Road Dogg.
Jesse James.
One of the greatest to ever do it.
Hell yeah. That's my name on Call of Duty. I just want everybody to know that.
There you go. There's the dog.
Can I get a hell?
New Age Outlaws. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm not going to go through the whole thing. So his dad was Bullet Barb Armstrong. So he has a story. One of my most fascinating stories talking to him was when he was a kid. Jody Hamilton is the assassin, and he's seen him like do these TV promos where he would like take an 8x10 of his dad and put it on the tree and then walk down and shoot it with his gun and be like, "You're next, Bullet Barb Armstrong." And then like 3 days later, that dude's in his kitchen eating dinner because they're friends, you know? And he's like, "That dude wants to kill dad. We're fucking eating stroganoff with him? What's happening right now?" Man. You talk about a guy that capitalized on the moment, everything that was this ruthless aggression era, this DX, this era of chaos. Him and Billy Gunn, of course.
Yeah. Badass.
The New Age Outlaws.
Yeah, Billy Gunn. Here go, better pick.
This is my favorite.
Look at that.
Tag team of all time. Not even close. What? Road Dogg Jesse James and Billy Badass.
Dude.
Yeah.
When they came out, their whole intro was sang by everyone in the crowd. Like, if you go watch old pay-per-views, they'll be in the middle of a pay-per-view. But I'll tell you this, when they came out, there was no bigger pop. Like, the crowd's losing their mind, doing the whole thing. They get to the end, and if you ain't down with that, we got two words for you. Suck it. Like, dude. How many of us were doing that to our teachers?
Come on,
like,
man.
All day.
Yeah. That's because of these dudes. And then when I get a call from him and he's like, "Are you interested in podcasts?" You're like, "What's going on with my life right now? Like, is this, if I could write a letter to my young self, I'd be like, this is weird, dude."
That's
man. Being
awesome.
In the wrestling space has been fantastic. It's a really tight circle to get into, but once you get in, it's like the comic circle. You get into stand-up, you know everybody, you're trying to be polite, and then you start meeting people you can really hang with.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, even if we go do a show, which is awful, we're still going to have a good hang. That's what you kind of start, you know, the circle starts tightening.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean anybody, it doesn't mean they're not funny. They're not good people.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, these dudes, even without comedy, we can hang. Kind of like the podcast here.
Yeah.
Like, we're doing the podcast because we like to hang.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, regardless of anything else. So you get this, it's kind of like the wrestling clique. Like, if you're in, you're in.
Okay.
But it's really hard. You got to get in our circle. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
You got to get it, though.
Yeah, you got to earn it. You're mm-hmm. not just... We're not taking everybody. You might be a good dude. We might work with you. We have no problems. We don't hate you. But you're not in the circle.
Yeah.
You're not in our circle.
Mm-hmm.
You can find your own circle. You know, NWO had their own circle. The Click, they had their own circle at first. BSK was Papa Shango and Undertaker and Rikishi and
Yokozuna.
Yeah, Yoko.
Oh, I didn't know about this.
Yoko was in there.
They were BSK, the Bone Street Killers, because they would play dominoes. They played Bones.
Ah.
So they were the Bone Street Killers. So they started BSK. So it was Taker, Rikishi, Yoko, Papa Shango.
Spelled it wrong. Hold up.
A couple others.
It's BSK.
Oh my fucking gosh, I'm trying to put the K on up. K.
It's not even
there. We go.
Word.
Look at that. You got that you guy. Got Goodwin right there. Savio Vega. Hell yeah.
Oh damn.
Yeah, Savio. Yeah, all the Goodwin boys.
Oh, man, are we just gonna skip over the fact Brandon misspelled BSK
and spelled BSW and then changed the S?
Clicked it too
quick. BSW, I misspelled it, and then deleted the S and changed it.
That is a Beetlejuice moment.
Yeah.
Hey, look at that one below it to the second line left.
Right here?
Next one.
This
one? To the left.
Oh, to the left. Fuck. Yeah. I'm tripping. Hold up. Here we go. I got
that's
you.
In the back of Undertaker's bus. Ooh, look at that.
Oh, shit, Paul.
Triple H, Briscoe, Paul Shawn Bearer. Michaels.
Shawn Michaels, that's my guy.
Paul Bearer.
Scott Hall.
The Godwins.
Stone Cold.
Look at that, man.
Razor Ramon.
Imagine being in that bus at that time, dude. That's some shit.
The partying that they did.
You getting drunk as hell.
Oh, God.
I mean, there's a little of you. You're like, I mean, they can't have more fun than we did at Don's house. I mean, that's real. Like, we're having a good time.
Mm-hmm. It's a good time.
But you're like, also like, yeah, they probably had a better time than us.
Oh, God.
I don't know what they did, but they did something that was probably better than us.
Good shit.
But they're back there playing dominoes. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Just having a fucking ball of a time.
Oh, look at that one down below the main picture you got. To the right, to the right, to the right, to the right.
Right?
To the right.
Below the main picture.
Oh, the main. Oh,
Taker and Papa.
Yeah, that.
Right to the left.
Oh, okay, right there. There we go. Gotcha.
Look at that. This Godfather and... Oh, my God,
oh,
dude.
Oh, man.
Imagine them dudes walking in your bar, bro.
Shit.
Excuse me, sir. I didn't mean to get in your way.
Like he says, we just got into our second episode where he made his debut as Papa Shango when he missed his cue on a pay-per-view. He's supposed to go out. It was Hogan and...
Was that Survivor Series?
Damn.
I could be wrong.
Hogan on the second one?
Hogan and Sid. Sid Vicious, Sid Justice, Sid Vicious, whatever you want to call him, Psycho Sid. They just wanted to get him a push, so they're like, "Hey, they're going to have their match, and then you run out and interfere, and it's going to be DQ." But that'll like make you as like the guy who interfered. Like he did some small shit, but this is like big time.
Mm-hmm.
This is the main event of a pay per view.
Yeah, and you get on there with Hogan,
and he's back there ready to go. He's like. Y'all tell me when to run. They're in Indianapolis where the Colts play.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a long run, dude. And he's like, y'all just tell me when to go. And by the time they tell him when to go, it's too late in the real-time match. So by the time he gets there, the damn match is over. Like, he was supposed to interfere. He didn't get there in time. So Sid had to kick out on his own. And then they bumped up. Like, they do a halt. They have to... change everything on the fly.
Ooh.
And then by the time he gets there, he still does stuff, but it's like, wait, what are you doing here? At the time, everybody's like, what's he doing here after the match? You know what I mean? Like, something's wrong here. And like, nerd wrestling fans, and I say that with love, because I'm not a nerd. I'm a nerd wrestling fan, not just a smart one. Like, I don't know any of the history as much as I need to, and as much as everybody thinks, but I'm a wrestling fan. But everybody who paid attention to that went, yeah, he missed his mark. He should have been in there. It's talked about now. And then I got a chance to sit down with him on our podcast, the second episode. And we go month by month his whole career. So we're just in the second month of his career. And he's making his debut on a pay-per-view with Hogan and Sid Justice. Like, what?
Damn.
And he's like, I was like, dude, who talked to you first? Like, when you went back, who was like, hey, man, you fucked up? Like, who was the first guy? Somebody looked at you and was like, it's all right, dude. We'll figure it out. But he was like, not one person ever talked to him about it in my entire life until fans.
Oh, wow. Shit. So they were like, it worked.
But it worked. But also, people don't realize they have live television 2 times a week, live.
True.
Not recorded. So whatever your favorite show is, it's recorded.
Mm-hmm.
They have 2 live shows now NXT 3, have three live shows they have to write for a week. It's live. So if you trip and fall and you're supposed to be the badass, we have to adapt now and then pivot everything we've had written of you're the badass, you've tripped and fell. We have to scrap that, throw it in the trash, and figure out how to get to where we were going to go with you tripping now.
That's crazy.
Like, think about how hard. So, like, people, like, criticize wrestling writers and, like, oh, that was stupid. Like, you don't know what they originally had. Now, look, one, it could have been stupid. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying you don't know what they, hey, we had this plan and dude got hurt.
Mm-hmm. The snowball effect.
This was supposed to happen, but she got pregnant. Like, yeah, it's just getting out of control. What?
I don't know what the fuck he's laughing about.
I like Dom trying to use big words.
It snowball is a snowball effect. Effect.
Snowball that effect.
Is what it is. Oh, I thought he was trying to get me to do blow, and I was like, let's wait till the podcast is over, bro. We're watching preseason NFL. We don't even do blow at 2 o'clock.
Oh, you got it.
Sorry, I went long on wrestling.
Dude,
y'all opened the door, and we had to go.
Oh, no, we had to.
So I do currently 3 constant wrestling podcasts. And then I do, all those are under the ad-free shows umbrella. Shameless plug, go to adfreeshows.com. We have our Patreon there. And I do, besides those, I do random one-off Q&As with either a special guest we've never had on or some of our regular hosts. They do a monthly Q&A, and sometimes I'll host those. I think around this whenever it drops, but I'll be doing live Q&A with Eric Bischoff, so I'll be hosting that.
Shit. Monday Night shit. Wars. WCW.
Hell yeah. Eric's that was
fantastic,
my shit.
Dude. He's super great to talk to. Every time I get to hang out with him, I'm just like, well, one, it's just so cool, and he's just, he's a smart dude, like, period. Mm-hmm. Like, but not wrestling. I mean, he is, but a broader thing of business, just business in general. Like, anything you want to talk about business, you can, like, hey, did you see so-and-so merge with so-and-so? And he's, like, he's got, like, a whole page on it in his head. And you're, like,
dude, that's the best.
My man knows what's
around.
Going down.
Hell, yeah.
They'll put you on game so hard.
Of course, he's got his own podcast, Shameless Plug, 83 Weeks, which
check
is
it out.
83 Weeks is how long he beat WWF in their prime when he was there with WCW and the NWO popped off, and it changed wrestling forever. Dude. It changed wrestling forever. It's what AEW is trying to copy right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to take over. The whole.
Yeah, they're the second biggest, mm-hmm. and they're trying to figure out how to conquer the beast. And they got close a couple times, especially early on. They're not now, but they're a viable number two, and I think it's good for the business for sure. Everybody I've known that's worked with AEW or in some kind of capacity, look, it's like comedy. I mean, it's another comedy club opening up. Yeah, mm-hmm. we want more opportunities to work.
Hell yeah.
So whatever you want to say, hey, it might not be our A rooms and our B rooms, they're already taken, but for everybody else, it's more opportunity to get out there and be seen and then possibly get to those A and B rooms. Hey, I go headline over. I mean, you know how it is in comedy.
True.
First person to headline you is not going to be a real comedy club like Levity Live in Huntsville, the Stardome in Birmingham, or Zanies in Nashville. They're not going to be the first ones.
No.
You're going to go... You're going to commit. Somebody's going to go, can you headline? You're going to like, yep. And you can't headline. But you're like, yep, I can. Because that was my opportunity. And I want to take the check and close the show out and tell everybody I headlined a room. And that's going to happen. And realistically, afterwards, you're like, yeah, I just winged it for about 15, 20 minutes. But, and then you go, somebody sees you there and go, well, if he's headlining, he can headline my room. He can headline my brewery. And then you start doing those. And then it's like somebody sees you out. Somebody sees you at a club, A club or B club, and you feature for somebody. And then they go, hey, you need to come back. We got a one-nighter. Or next time you come back with a celebrity, you do Wednesday. And then you feature for them Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So it's like I want all the rooms to open that can open. I've never been, hey, we got too many people doing open mics. No, we don't. Guess what? They're either successful or they're not.
Yeah.
And if they're successful, it means the comics are going there and going, hey, I'm having a good time here. I'm learning here. I'm actually processing my work. And then if it's not good, whether it's politics, whether it's the location and the venue, whether they didn't give it enough love and promotion, there's 1,000 things on that side.
Oh, God, yes.
But just on the bare minimum, somebody's opened up another open mic, or hey, this guy does a once a month show at his bar, I'm all for it. It's more work for the rest of us, more reps, more times to be seen, more times to build fan, more times to work your material out. And the more the merrier.
That's a huge thing, to work your material out. And like now that we are over a year and a half, you know, still young in the game, but you got to start getting those 10, 15 minute, 20 minute sets to work all your stuff out, to know how it's going to go whenever you're doing your shit. And the more opportunity you have to do that, the better.
Starting to, you know, do more stuff around the Huntsville scene locally, and getting to, you know, meet you guys and hang out with you guys. Like, I think a lot of, I think Huntsville has a great comedy scene. I think there's a ton of great comics. And then my personal thing was talking to other people from outside of it. How is it? And I'm like, well, it seems good. It's definitely a good hang. I hang with them. We do open mics. It's hard to tell with open mics. So it's why I'm starting to now start trying to work with as many people as I can on quote-unquote real shows where mm-hmm. it's a paid audience to come to see comedy. That's what I really mean, not just an open mic or a quote-unquote showcase where it's really five of us open micers getting together. But it's like I've seen all of you do open mics. I've seen all of you bomb, and this is me too. I've seen all of you smash. It doesn't mean anything in open a mic. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you're a good or a bad comic. Because open mics are not made to win. They're made to do my material. I'm going to, like me, like I told you, I don't write anything. So every open mic I do it at, I want to try to spit out another tag or, hey, just do one more line. Whatever comes in your head, just do one more line to throw in on this. And some of that ends up being your closer or whatever. Like, you know, you guys know, open mic is there to start working out material.
Absolutely.
It is not to judge whether you're a good or a bad comic. It's to get a rep. I've had this in my notebook or on my notes app or wherever you keep notes in your head. It doesn't matter. Do it on stage, then do it again and change something the first time. Then do it again and change something again.
Mm-hmm.
Just because this tag didn't work at this open mic, you can do it the next night and the tag work.
It can blow up.
But you're going to get an overall sense of here's what kind of works, here's what mm-hmm. doesn't. And then you should also, for me, because I don't write good, I just try to feed off of what's going on. I try to just toss shit out. Do one more line. That's where I ended last time. I ended last time and I went, okay, I got my analyzed what I wanted to,
mm-hmm.
and then we moved on to the next bit. But now if I want to do it tonight, let's do it. Let's get to that point. Let's try every line I tried, and then let me do one more line, just whatever's on the top of my head. And more times than not, for me, the way I work, that stuff gets, because you're getting out of your comfort zone. You're getting out of writing. You're like, what is this crowd? Even if it's a callback to something else that already popped off in your show,
mm-hmm.
you can just feed off that and build into it. And then you go, oh, now I've got some segues into this.
You're so good at that, too. Yeah. You're really good at that. Like, everybody's not good at that, including me. But you do that shit so well. Also, I want to say that you're probably an accessory in a murder because of an open mic.
I've heard about this.
Yeah. So Cassie.
And I've seen that gentleman since.
I've seen him too. Did he have a gun in his waist?
He did.
He did.
I don't want to say his name, though.
We're not going to say his name.
Have y'all said his name?
We haven't talked about it yet on here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, we're not going to say his
name. Let's call him Tom.
Tom. Look, okay. Tom, Cassio said a joke. He said, you want to say what you said? Or you want to leave it?
No, it's a crowd. Okay. It's a crowd work joke.
Yeah, it's a crowd work joke.
That was me trying to work. I think this crowd work joke will get over. I love and invite crowd work. Some comics don't like crowd work. I really like crowd work. I went to school for improv when I was in L.A. I want to mess around with the crowd. A lot of people go, I have this, don't interrupt me. I'm going to get to the end of the script, and if you'll follow me, it'll be a damn good script. And I'm not hating on that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't write a script, so I have to adapt and work off of what are we doing here. And so one of my bits, the premise is, because this starts like a lot of my stuff does, just chilling and hanging with the boys. and then figuring out how to work it out later, was hanging out with me and my guys. We always do stupid would you rathers or dilemmas or name your, hey man, you can only keep three fast food french fries, go. And then we get in a debate about it. So this started, how much money would it take for you to take the money? Are we allowed to be dirty here?
You can say anything. Hell yeah. This is a pro-Hitler podcast. You can say whatever you want.
I wouldn't say.
You know, we were sitting there watching preseason football today, and JJ went, I want it to be known that I'm staunch anti-Hitler.
And I am.
And I thought that wasn't going to come up again. And then here you're like, and I'm like, you know what? If JJ said, I want to be really, really, like, definitively on the side of anti-Hitler. I want to say that clearly into this.
Yeah. That's a controversial take on this show. Okay.
3 out of 4, you know, who knows who's right.
Huh? All right. 3 out of 4. Jake, I'd like to switch seats with you, sir.
3 out of 4. Nope.
So Eric Bischoff. he was misunderstood as well.
It's a good man right there, man.
The premise on my set for this particular story was, how much money would it take for you to trade in for the perfect dick?
Mm-hmm.
Think about your perfect dick. So I'm going to give you your perfect dick or $1 million. Because you can ask that question 100 times to the dude in the front row, and 100 times it'll probably be different. He won't want to answer it. He's going to answer it bravely. He's going to take the dick immediately. He's going to take $1 million immediately. His wife's going to come in and say, take the $1 million. Like, take the dick, take the meat. Like, there's 1,000 ways. I think that's the fun part of it.
Yeah.
And so to do that, though, you have to start doing that at shows at some point, no matter what level, and seeing what people are going to start saying. So you can start getting into that mindset. And while I negotiated with Tom, he said he had a perfect dick.
Yeah. I don't need that. I already have a perfect dick.
He didn't want the money. And I said, okay. He said, I have a perfect dick. And I said, $2 million are the perfect dick. And he took the dick. And so now we're going through it. And now I see his lady friend. I don't know what their relationship was. There's a lady at the table with him. And she slyly goes,
when he swear to God, she did that.
He's like, I have the perfect dick. And she's like, And then as we negotiate, I go, I don't want to bring your girl in, and blah, blah, blah. I think it's having a fun time. I wasn't aggressive to him.
No, not at all.
I just posed a question, and now we're riffing. And then a lady at the bar says, hey, your girl said take the perfect dick.
The black lady at the bar
said, because you need it. She's already said he don't have the perfect dick or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
She said he ain't got the perfect dick.
And I'm like, this is great. This is a fun time to end. Like, because I was like, this is a fun show. Like, I finally, because the first time part of my set, I did not get a laugh. And then this got a laugh, thankfully. For the lady on the bar. And then afterwards, I was still down there, and you guys went outside and saw some chaos.
Dude, so we go outside. I'm talking to Charlie. He just comes across the street. He stops in the middle of the street and throws his phone as
the
hard
guy
as he
was
can.
Just talking to Tom.
Tom.
Which we didn't know till later was signed up to be a comic that night. I didn't know that.
I thought the reason he was mad because he went up and didn't get any laughs. But then you guys were like, no, he didn't go up.
No, I never saw him go up.
So he didn't go up. So I'm like, why did he just smash his phone? It had to be because his girl said he didn't have the perfect dick. Cut to last week. This is a month later. I come up. He's like, hey, can I get a lighter? He has a cigarette. And I see like dirt in his fingernails, right? And like deep down in there. So this is what I see. When you have dirt deep down in there, that means you haven't been home in a while. You haven't showered in a while. This immediately what I thought.
You haven't been home in a while.
You haven't. And then he goes up that night.
What?
And he says, I had to kill somebody in self-defense last week.
He did.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? He killed this girl. She wasn't with him. She's been there every time with him.
All right. I saw.
He killed her.
I saw him at an open mic since that night.
Uh-huh.
And I was worried because I'd heard all y'all's stories. Yeah. I was worried when I saw him. I'm like, he's going to come up to me and, like, kill me. Or, like, be ready to fight. You know what I mean? And he never said one. Like, he so now I'm like, I don't know if he noticed, like, he realizes it was me or he didn't give a shit. I don't know the case. Like, but he never mentioned it to me. But that night, we're all hanging out after the mic. And by the way, he did a pretty damn good job.
Yes, he did.
I was like, he did, oh, man, that was pretty good. I was like, damn. There was some of them I want to Google to see if it was already on the internet. But I was like,
Jake told me he did.
So, who?
Jake. He said he searched it up. Because I was like, that's some good shit. He's like, Reddit.
I got my mic. I don't care. My point was, I just still wanted to see. Well, I mean, he was still a funny dude regardless. Mm-hmm. I was like, that was funny. And then we're hanging out afterwards. And we're like, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you going to the show? We got a show in Trustville. I'd like for you to come work. That's good. Hey, man, I don't have your number, blah. And Tom goes, killed a man last week. And we're like, what's that? And he's like, yeah, man, self-defense. I stabbed him. You ever been stabbed?
Yes, and we're remember that.
No, I've never been stabbed. No, and he's like, I've been stabbed. And Brandon's like, hey, man, will you pass that joint? Before you start that story, will you go ahead and hand that over here so I can get it? Because this sounds like it's going to be a long story, you know? I was like, good call, dude. Don't get stuck in this story. Once you talk about killing a man, I'm not asking you to go ahead and pass it. You know what I mean? You can keep it as long as you want after that. Friend's like, hand that in. That's a long story, guys. I was like, bet. That's a good call. God.
He actually stabbed and killed his girlfriend after she transitioned. She chose the perfect city.
She chose it. What'd he say, Brandon?
And he was talking about how this dude tried to stab him.
Yeah.
Like,
uh-huh.
Basically, he did stab him. And he was like, dude, when you get stabbed, it's like, it's life changing. Like, it's not the same. It feels
different. It is, by the way.
He's like,
somebody. I've never been stabbed, but I promise you, it's going to be life-changing the first thing I do.
Tom, I remember you guys talking about, dude, I knew him for half my whole life. Like, we went to school together and everything. Dude, he seen me when I played basketball. He was there with me.
Was this when we went?
No, I'm talking about back in like middle school. I'm talking about middle school. Like,
he knows this guy.
Dude,
half my whole life. Dude. I've never heard anyone say the phrase half my whole life.
Yes, man. Half of it.
Brandon, you have some of the most craziest phrases that I'm like, I've never heard a human say those words in that order before.
This just, Brandon knows multiple murderers.
Yeah, because the other dude killed that dude in Russian roulette and then tried to hang out with me. And after he told that nice story, he's like, so you want to hang out tomorrow? Oh, yeah. Okay, so I had a friend who my mom told me in third or fourth grade, she was like, you can't hang out with him no more. Because he always had butterfly knives and he would do tricks.
The school talent show. Yeah.
He always had
butterfly knives.
Yeah, Soviet Union flags everywhere and not shit.
Always. What's a Union flag?
Like the Soviets.
The Soviets.
Like the little Soviet
USSR hammer and sickle.
Yeah, man, Soviets.
I thought the Soviets was who attacked Tweety Bird earlier. Didn't Mel Blanc do the Soviets?
No, man. Back in the
voice of Soviets, wasn't he?
Yeah, the Cold War, like back in the Cold War days.
Wait,
Russia,
Soviet.
Yeah. Soviet.
You didn't know anybody that killed somebody in World War II?
Soviet.
Soviet. That's just what you're talking about.
Okay, he was a fan of it. Like, he had the flags and shit.
Yeah.
And he did, what did he do? Call of Duty. He always played that. And then one day, my mom was like, you can't have with him no more. That's okay. One day, I saw him on the news, and he did Russian roulette with this guy, and then shot and killed him and said it was an accident. So they let him out. And then after that, he was like, hey.
This is real.
This is real.
Like, he roams the streets.
He's
a good dude. I don't want to. Can he watch this? Do you know if he watches this?
Yeah, he can. He's like close.
Hey,
he's,
man, like, I hate you got hemmed up like that.
Yeah, man.
Government's against us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. I thought he was like one of the nicest people until he did that, man. Because he was like so kind.
He murdered a guy.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I'm going to have to think about this a little bit.
I can't say. I wouldn't
say
his name.
Is he a Sylvia or not?
No, he was a... he had blonde hair. He supported it, though.
He had blonde hair.
And he looked like Johnny Carson a little bit if he was young. Yeah. You know Johnny Carson?
Yeah, I know Johnny Carson. I know Johnny Carson.
He looked like Johnny Carson because he was young.
No, I'm saying when he was young. Oh. Like young, young. Yeah, he was a... I have to see what happened.
Have y'all took the SAT test yet? The IQ test?
We took it.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
I'm scared that Brandon got higher than me.
Wait, have y'all revealed it yet?
No. On the live show. 31st.
The 31st?
31st of August.
Shenanigans.
That's shenanigans. Yeah, we're going to reveal it. None of us know. Dude. Only person who knows everybody's score is Kim. And then...
And Kim's been treating us mighty different. Oh,
man. You've been treating me the same.
It's too good.
Fuck it.
All right. Smoking like a true Sylvia.
Yeah, man.
Oh, my God.
Soviet, right?
Soviet.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've been saying it wrong my whole life.
You have.
Yeah.
It's a couple
at
of words.
At least half your whole life.
Yeah, man.
Half my whole life.
Hell yeah, man.
Oh, my God.
Half my whole life.
Damn.
All right.
I'm overstimulated.
Brandon's also the first person on stage I've ever seen. I'm in a domestic...
Give it up.
He said, I'm an abusive relationship. Y'all fuck with those? And the girl's like, no, we don't. No, we do not.
He got a woo one time.
Yeah, one dude said woo. I'm like, oh shit, you serious?
Are you okay, bro?
Oh no.
Y'all fuck with those.
Y'all fuck with that.
Yeah.
Well, before he was like, y'all fuck a car. Do y'all fuck with that? No.
Oh,
and
shit,
he's like,
I
fuck with abusive relationships. And I'm like, that is closer to fucking a car. I'll be honest with you. I'm closer to that than having sex with a vehicle.
Oh, yeah, to clarify, y'all, I'm talking about the car, and I know people, man. My vehicle. I hope y'all know that.
Oh, you talking about the abusive relationship?
Yes, abusive. So they'll be like, no, I'm talking about the cars. I'm just making sure.
All right, so. This ghostly Muhammad Ali means it's, we're at 50 minutes.
Yes,
but
we are.
I heard you do a really good impression.
We're in 50 minutes?
Yes, we are.
Yeah. No, we're
minutes.
Not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 50 minutes? And
y'all didn't even get to your research.
We have got to none. That's
can we keep going?
Hell yeah. Let me put him away. He'll walk off. Look at that.
Yeah.
He'll float off, dude.
Or bring that back at 4:20.
Okay. 4:20, what time?
Hey,
let's see what time it is. Oh, hell yeah.
What time is it?
It is 3:19.
Shouldn't have said that.
Yeah. All
right. So much longer away. Yeah. All right, 4. 4 is a good number.
Hell yeah.
How about 4?
Hell
so we
can
eat some ham slaughter. I want time to eat.
Yeah, we got to have time to eat.
Yeah, everybody that comes here eats.
Good food. Good, dude.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
All right, let's go till 4.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Get into your research.
I want to know. I heard you do a very good impression of Matt Foley. Can we get a little bit of it?
Well, sure. One, you should know that was. One, you should know I broke something over here.
Don't worry about that.
And then two, that was my comedy idol, was Chris Farley.
Love it.
So that was Saturday Night Live. I didn't want to do stand-up. I wanted to do sketch and improv.
Mm-hmm.
I saw them do a sketch and went, that's the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. I just don't know why they're getting paid to do that on television. But I'd really like to do that instead of hanging vinyl siding with my dad. You know what I mean? That looked very appetizing to me. And so that's what I would... I watched Saturday Night Live then religiously.
Mm-hmm.
Different than it is now, of course, but Chris Farley was a guy where I thought, man, that is, I mean, even without me trying to do Chris Farley, as soon as he came out, all my high school friends were going, you're Chris Farley. Like, it was just like that, the big guy, you're loud, you're funny, you got lumped in the same thing,
mm-hmm.
which I was fine with. I was like, yeah, he's fucking hilarious. And then, of course, Matt Foley, the motivational speaker. So I did that. I've done that. Yeah, I used to do that impression all the time. I actually did that impression for Oh, what's her name? She was on Saturday Night Live. Blonde hair, real ditzy.
Not Molly Shannon. Christina Wig.
No, way before that. Way before
that. Like Chris Farley time.
Negative Nancy.
Not Negative Nancy.
What's wrong?
He's
Kate McKickin.
Oh, fuck. Kate McKickin. She is funny, but...
Look up female Saturday Night Live.
Was it 1975? No, it could have been a reunion type shit,
I hope you die, dude. In a fire, like a hot one. A hot fire. Oh, man. SNL. He's typing blonde.
Well, you burned down something.
Huh?
Oh, right there. Victoria Jackson.
Where's?
Victoria Jackson. Dang, right. There we go.
Oh, shit. What year? 90s?
No, she's definitely
not. The 70s, you asshole. She was great on Saturday Night Live. She was really good friends. And they actually made me do my impression for her. I was emceeing her show at the Stardome in Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
And friends came back and radio people and the owner and stuff. And they were like, hey, Cassio does a great impression of Matt Foley, motivational speaker, who she's in segments with him doing that. So like that's the time she was there.
Mm-hmm.
She's got her two daughters there at the time. I'm going to be wrong, but let's just say preteenish at the time, old enough to know Chris Farley. See, she's sitting on the couch. Go down. Wait, go back.
Oh, hold
just
on,
go yeah. down three. Just
all right. Go down three. Tell him when to stop.
Right
to the right.
To the right.
All right, right here.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
There you go. She's sitting there.
Steven Seagal,
Farley. You know, so that's her time. Is that mm-hmm. that whole time? Anyway, I was like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. This is a lot of pressure. She worked. That's one of her friends. You know what I mean? Like, that's a weird pressure to do an impression of somebody who's passed away too soon. That they were super close and did all this magic together. And everybody's like, do it. And she was like, yeah. You know, she's in a tough spot. She's like, yeah, do it. So then I'm like, my name is Matt Foley, motivational speaker. I live in a van down by the river. And so I'm doing the whole thing, pulling the pants up. El Nino. I'm doing the whole Spanish version and everything. Her daughters start crying. One girl goes, I miss Chris, and starts crying. So then it's like she goes to console them, and there's seven of us in the room going, probably I'm going to walk outside. I want to go out here. Yeah, let's go out here. Let's go out here for a second. That was when I was like, I probably shouldn't do that. Like,
get in front of
around them. Friends is fine, but let's don't ever do it for somebody who... I'm sure, like, if I did it for David Spade, he's like, you're not even close. You know what I mean? Like, but for just for that time and for a kid to do that, it was like, oh, my God. I've made Victoria Jackson's daughters cry. And then I had to do... She came to at the time, Stand Up Live, now Levity Live in Huntsville, and... they called me to open up for her, and I was like, yeah, I'm down with that. And so I meet her. I'm like, hey, you probably don't remember me. It's been like 10 years at least or whatever. And I was like, my name's Cassio, and I opened up for you in Birmingham. And she was like, yeah, I remember going to Birmingham. And I was like, I did an impression of – they made me do an impression of Matt Foley. I made sure they were like – they made me. They made me do an impression of Matt Foley, and your daughter started crying. Like, I told her, and she's like, I do remember that. Yeah, that was not a good night. And she was like, yeah, but she was like, you did great on the show and everything. And I was like, yeah, I didn't talk too much after that. So can I get a picture? Because I didn't. After that, I was like, nah, I'm not going to be the guy. I made your daughter cry. I don't want a picture with you. So I could be like, hey, I made her daughter cry tonight doing Matt Foley. Yeah, so that was my jam, man. Chris Farley was my jam.
I love Chris Farley. Come on.
So when I moved to L.A., started going to the Groundlings, my goal was not stand-up. My goal was Mad TV or Saturday Night Live.
And what year did you go?
I went to Los Angeles in 2003.
Ooh,
that's a good year.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Kind of sit in on Mad TV. I'd met before that through radio and stuff. Frank Caliendo, who's
the king of impressions.
He was on Mad TV John at that Madden. Time. He invited me. I got to sit in the stands and watch him record. And even watching that, I was like, yeah, this is, you just see somewhere you're like, this is where I need to be right here. And then now I'm here, but, it's the same, you know,
it's pretty much.
Yeah. It's the same,
same kind of production value.
Yeah. Yeah. I just saw it and it confirmed. I'm like, I'm out here for the right reasons. Like that's what I want to do. And then I did some open mics in Birmingham. I'd met some comics and they were like, you should go do stand up. And did some open mics over at the Stardome. That's where I started for about a year, probably. And then I moved to Los Angeles. Didn't do any stand-up. I was doing just sketch and improv and focusing on that. Did some sketch shows and sketch. You know, they're booking this sketch show, so I'd go do that or a contest where you bring your best sketch or whatever the case may be, and then go into class at night. And then I was on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. And at the time, the guys who booked all the comics for Tonight Show, they booked Last Comic Standing because it was NBC. So they were like, y'all know all the comics. We'll do it American Idol style. We'll get some people off the street, mix that in with real comics that just don't have any, got not getting enough love. You know, if you get in the comedy business, you'll be like, if you spend time on the road, there's road comics that are funnier than anybody you've ever heard of and work 50 weekends a year. And you'd be like, why do y'all not know about these guys? Because they're the funniest people on the planet. Y'all are going to see celebrity acts because they have a name. And they might be entertaining. But they're not. I can show you the guy next week where we're giving away free tickets to that literally will have you like pissing your pants and crying.
100%.
Like, the Dale Jones and the Sean Jones are two. Like, just there's some people out there where you go, they're just a road dog. And I promise you, they'll beat any special you've ever seen. Like, they're just funny people. And so they were booking those people. Like, hey, these dudes have been on the road not getting their due. Of course, this is before social media, so there wasn't like you can make your own brand. As a comic, you're just going to, you're just, whoever the clubs are headlining, that's who they're headlining, and that's who's famous. You know what I mean? And so they booked some of those, some people off the street, and then they were like, hey, you're a funny dude. You're doing segments for us. Come try out for Last Comic Standing. And I was like, I don't do stand-up. Like, y'all work with me. I do man-on-the-street stuff. I do segments. I do sketches. And they were like, hey, we need bodies. Like, you can say you were on stand-up live. I mean, say we're on Last Comic Standing. And so I was like, okay, when's the trial? And they were like, we're going to start in 3 months. And so I was like, I'm not camping on the fucking street. And they're like, no, you just walk in. I'm like, all right, I'm in. And so then for 3 months or whatever it was, 3 or 4 months, I had to figure out how to get all my sketches that I wrote and improv shit and turn that into a 5-minute comedy set.
Holy shit.
And so I started doing any mic I could get in Los Angeles, doing 5 minutes just to literally try that. How am I going to turn what I'm doing into stand-up? Because it's not the same. People think it's the same.
No, it's totally different.
When I was at the Groundlings, they would have the Sunday Company, which is right before you were in the main company. And when I was there, the Sunday Company was people like Kristen Wiig and Will Forte and some other people like that.
Holy shit.
And they would bring in a guest every now and then, like just a funny person, celebrity, a stand-up, another improv person. You don't know who it is, but they would come and try to just sit in and be a guest that night. And you would see so many stand-up comics. They either got it or they didn't. If you come into improv comedy and try to get to an ending, you know, I got a joke. I know which ending I'm going towards. I'm driving right towards there. Improv is not like that, because you could say something that throws the whole thing off where I thought I was going. And like, I saw Louis C.K. there one night, and he's about 4 or 5 sketches in, and he's like, I'm out. Like, in a fun way. Because you would see his stand-up brain, they would start a scene at the beach, and he starts calculating and saying some lines, but you can go, he sees this ending, this finish line. And they would go, oh, yeah, but we got to walk home. And he would go, wait, I've already got us mapped out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already trying to set you up for this finish line, which is what a stand-up does, is I'm going to get us there together.
Yeah.
And an improv with so many people involved, you never know where they're going to go. And so he would set everything up. They would go left when he thought they were going to go right. And then it's like, I don't know where we're going. I already had this finish line mapped out. And he'd be like, I got nothing.
Yeah. That would be so hard.
He stopped doing it. And everybody's like laughing and loving him. It wasn't like he was mad.
Mm-hmm.
He was just like, this is wild. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not made for this. And he's not. That's why he's a goat where he's at.
Because
he's a stand-up comic. He knows how to do stand-up comedy at its best.
Yeah.
And so to think about improv, it's like, that's two different demons. It's why so many stand-up comics go, don't talk in my set. I know where we're going. Some people like it. Some people don't. It's changing, especially stand-up in social media times. Now you can just throw crowd work.
Crowd work specials, you know, you get. Like stand-ups now are doing, like, saying they do an hour, they'll do 45 minutes of material, and then the last 15 minutes is straight crowd work so they can, you know, get the clips, which I understand because you don't want to burn your material, you know, or it's just not even complete yet to where you want it. Speaking of burning stuff, do you burnt down your grandma's house?
Ooh.
It was the wrong grandmother's house. It was not my... Oh, wait. Time out. There's two different stories I got messed up.
Okay.
I did burn my grandmother's house down, and I went swimming in another wrong grandmother's swimming pool that is legendary from the radio. Grandmother, yes, on about my 13th birthday, 12th, 13th, somewhere around there, my grandparents lived on the river in Asheville, Alabama, and they had this double-wide trailer on the river, and this couldn't get any better, you know what I mean? And we had our birthday. My birthday's July 6th, so it's always I get lumped into the 4th of July party. And so we all hung out, shot fireworks. At the end of the night, they're telling me to go clean up the fireworks. I'm lazy and fat, so I don't care. I just go out and grab what I can see, but I throw all these stuff in the bag, trash bag, big black hefty bag, put that in a rubber trash can, put that rubber trash can up against the vinyl siding double wide. We left for the night, and of course, stuff was still hot in there, and it stayed hot. And then it melts through plastic garbage bag. Mm-hmm. It's getting fueled by plastic rubber trash bag. Now it's on vinyl siding. And at about 3 a.m., my grandparents woke up to their trailer on fire. And so, that burnt down. They were dead. That was not good. They survived, thankfully. But, yeah, but I didn't know. I knew their house burned as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't find out that it was my responsibility until I was like 23. Like,
really?
We were hanging at her new house. My grandfather had passed away at this time, but she's got a new house. She moved closer to town where we were in Gadsden, got a pool so everybody would still visit. She knew that. And we were just sitting there one time, and somebody said something about throwing an ashtray out in a trash can or something. They're like, yeah, you're going to burn the house down. They don't call me Casio, but Matt. They were like, that's what, you know, like Matt did. Yeah. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And it opened up this whole trauma window for me of I burnt my grandparents' house down.
Holy
I didn't know until I was 23. They were like, and so my whole family knew it and just didn't tell me because I was too young and they didn't want to put that, you know, they didn't want
put
to tell
that on.
Me.
That's good family.
You burnt your grandparents. And at 23, you're like, man, I got a lot to deal with. You know what I mean? I apologize. I should have brought snacks today, Grandma. I should be pitching in every time I come over here. I burnt your house down. I should be pitching in.
And that sounds like a great cover story for insurance fraud. I like that.
It's fireworks by our teenage grandson.
Because you know the insurance people aren't smart enough to figure out like chemistry and shit. They're like, rubber, yeah, that burns, right? Oil.
That's
you
know? Good. It's all good, right?
And I see vinyl siding is a common theme in your life, man.
I'm white trash. Maybe I'm white trash superstar, my friend. There's a lot of vinyl.
Vinyl siding and linoleum.
Yeah, Dad did vinyl and gutters. Mm-hmm. And I worked... with him, he was a firefighter, and he had to retire early because he, what do you call it? Smoke weed, and he had to retire early from there, and so he started his own construction business, vinyl siding and gutters. I worked with him for a few summers in high school. Then I worked with my uncles, who owned a tile place doing tile. And in that 6-year stretch, I was like, fuck manual labor. Yeah. I would like to never do this ever again. So, yeah, that's what I was like. I got to figure out how to make this entertaining stuff real. So that was my whole deal. I literally was like, I'm just not built for it, guys. There's people that do this job, and more power to them. I'm just not. I can't do it. I mean, I could do it if that was my last deal, but I'm saying, like, I did it and was like, what can I do? I won't make as much money, but what if I'm just funny? Can I figure out how to do that? I don't make as much money as you, but I don't lay tile.
Yeah.
Which, for me, sucks dick.
Oh, God. It's the worst.
Yeah.
Manual labor is the worst.
It is. It is.
You see how black I'm getting right now?
Doing that shit.
That is the worst part.
That is the worst part is the suntan.
So he put on there that you burned down the house. And what you got? What did you say? You got beaten up by a monkey?
Holy fuck.
Your response was way better than
that. I don't fuck with monkeys, man. Fuck them.
I don't either, sir. Yeah, that's man. A great Whoa. Call. Yeah. And like, that's a good Whoa. Rule to have in life. JJ's like, I'm not co-signing that on camera. He yeah, said it. Man. We can agree with it.
That's going to be a clip for sure.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, JJ going. Shit. Man, that was actually a radio, when I started with Rick and Bubba and radio, somebody called and said, hey guys, I don't know if y'all know about it, but at the Coleman Country Club or golf course, I think it was Coleman, somewhere around there, Hayden maybe, I don't know, it's a golf course, but they were like, this guy that has a house where his backyard is up against the golf course,
mm-hmm.
he has a monkey. And we're like, what kind of monkey? And he's like, I don't know, one of those little tiny monkeys, and he wears a diaper. And he goes, it's kind of fun, but it's kind of not. If your ball goes too close to their yard, the monkey will run out and hop the fence and grab the ball and take it back to the house. And so everybody knows this is the hole. You got to watch it. To the right, there's the monkey house. And if you hit it over there, you're going to lose your golf ball. So we started looking at it, and we're like, oh, that sounds funny. And we're like, let's go check it out. So we go to the golf course, and we find the guy. We go up to his house, and we're like, hey, man, we heard you got a monkey here, and it steals golf balls. Yeah, one of those. Yeah, that's kind of what he looked like, except bigger.
Way bigger, huh?
Yeah, it's a baby.
Oh, find a bigger one.
This was an adult that he didn't want the monkey to shit in his house, so he put a diaper on him. That's a baby. Who didn't know better? This dude was just lazy monkey owner. So he's got a monkey, and he's like, oh, yeah, I'll bring it out. So he brings the monkey out. And we start interacting with it. And, you know, at that point, I wasn't scared of monkeys. I just, especially one in a diaper. You're like, this thing's kind of cute. You know what I mean? Look at it. I mean, it's kind of cute at the time. And he would, like, run up on you and, like, climb on you. And we're like, oh, this is kind of cool. Especially, we're like, this is making great radio, mm-hmm. like, great audio. And the monkey climbed on me, and he's, like, climbing around. And then he's, like, doing the... I had hair back then, believe it or not. And he starts, like, doing the monkey thing where they're looking through your hair and stuff. And I'm like, this is hilarious. And then he, like, took a little nibble of my ear. He's like, and I was like, hey, man, your monkey just kind of, like, nibbled on my ear. That's pretty funny. And he's like, yeah, he does that sometimes. And I'm like, yeah, I'd like that for not to happen ever again. And he was like, well, he just does it sometimes. You know, just tell him not to do it. I'm like, oh, okay. Don't bite my ear. That should be the end of it. And so he's like on my shoulder, and he's like, he swung over, and he like started biting this one. This is like getting a little harder. And I was like, hey, man, I'd like your monkey to not bite my ear anymore. How do we make that happen? Can you get him off of my shoulder? He's like, he just kind of does what he wants, man. And you're like, I need him to not want to bite my ear. He goes, I guess just cover your ears, man. And I'm like, okay, dude. And so now the monkey is like getting in on it. And I'm like, all right, bud, this is funny. So I cover my ears and I'm like, hey, this is great. And the monkey is literally like trying to pull my fingers off of my ear.
Mm-hmm.
He's like mad that I've covered my ear. And I'm like, this is kind of funny. This is great. You know, and everybody's laughing. We're having a good time at that point. And then the monkey grabs the front of my shirt like this with one hand, puts his feet here. So he's like hanging in front of me, like right here. He's got a hold of my shirt and he's like hanging. And he's just staring at me. And I'm like, hey, man, I think you should come get your monkey probably. Like, this is not fun anymore. And I like close my eyes. I'm like, hey, man, get your monkey off of me. And the monkey fucking pimp slaps me.
Oh, damn.
And I was like, bam. I was like, what? You're like, did I just get slapped? I should probably kill the monkey right now, you know? And he was like, he slapped
He's
me
looking
and
like
was,
that.
Oh, my God.
Thanks for the flashbacks, dude.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, that one on the right, he's looking dead at me and slapped me multiple times. And so I go, hey, dude, not funny anymore. And I do like this, and I'm trying to, because the monkey literally has my collar. Like, he's like robbing me for money. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, if this is a human, you'd be like, I'm in a bad spot. But he's this big, and you're like, I still think I'm in a bad spot. And so I push him off of me, and he, in one movement, as I push, he just, you know, climbs up on my... So now he's on my arm. I'm like, hey, dude, come get your monkey off of me. I really want the monkey. I don't know how to politely say. I need the monkey off of me right now. And they're all laughing. Oh, this is great. Like, buddy. So I'm like, then I start shaking like this. And I'm like trying to push him off my arm. And I don't know if you know about monkeys, but they don't fall easily. They're made to not fall from things. And so I finally push him, and now he's hanging from my arm. And as he's hanging, I start swinging. I'm like, hey, man, get the damn monkey off my arm. It's not funny anymore. Like, I need the monkey off of me. And as I'm doing this, monkey rears back and bites my elbow as hard as he can. Full attack, Mike. And I'm like... what? And I'm like, I was like, sling him, and he goes down, and he like runs away and like making the noise. Uh-huh. And then he like circles around and he starts coming to me, and I'm like, hey, man, he just bit me. If the monkey comes over here, I'm punting it across the golf course. I need you to know it's not going to end good for the monkey, because I was gentle that time and I'm not going to be gentle. And so he starts coming and he's like getting in front of him. And the monkey, like, goes around a little bit. And then the owner, I see, like, the... You know when the owner of any wild animal figures out, oh, I'm not in charge anymore? Yeah. He goes... I see the dude go, build a human wall around Casio. And you're like, man, this just got serious. So there's, like, 7 full-grown dudes standing in a circle around me because the monkey now wants to get back to me.
Are you fucking around?
Yeah, man. And I'm like, they have to like escort. So I was like, man, we're driving home. I'm like, this is bullshit. I'm bleeding. I got my wrapped up in a bandage. And I was like, all right, I need to think of it as a performer. I was young on the radio. And I was like, this story is going to be epic. I think listening at home, everybody realized how epic it was. I just need to attack it as a performer and be like, that was fun. Let your emotions go. It's going to be fun. We get back to Birmingham. I get to my desk at the radio station. I have 10 voicemails, and they are progressively worse. Hey, man, I'm a veterinarian. You don't need to be around that monkey. Hey, man, I just heard you got bit by a monkey. Not cool. Hello, Mr. Mitchell. This is the CDC, Center for Disease Control in Atlanta. We have been informed by multiple people that you have been bitten by a monkey. You and the monkey need to go to your nearest doctor immediately.
Are you serious?
So I called them back, and they're like, I told them the story, like thinking they're going to laugh, and they're like, no, there's nothing humorous about that. You need to go to a doctor today. And I'm like, for what? And they're like, like 1,000 different reasons you need to go. You've been bitten by a monkey, bro. Like, this is not good for you. And then they're like, you need to find the monkey. And we're like, I mean, we know where the monkey lives. He's actually on a golf course. He's set up pretty nice. And they're like, you need to get the monkey. And the monkey needs to go in and get tested for rabies, which, if you know anything about that,
yeah,
you can't means they that. Murder the pet. Mm-hmm. The pet gets his head chopped off.
Damn.
And so word now gets around to this guy. We're having to call this guy back. He's like, the monkey ran after y'all left.
Oh,
he's claiming that it
did. It did. Yeah, he's
but
just
he
saying.
Don't want everybody showing up killing his pet monkey. Yeah. He's like, the monkey escaped. So then it's like a hunt in Birmingham, Alabama, or Coleman and Hayden, whatever this was there's an escaped monkey. Could be rabid. And we're like, bro, the monkey's at the house, dog. The monkey's at Meemaw's house. You know what I mean? What are we doing?
That could have went so much worse.
Bro. Oh, so bad. Yeah.
Could you imagine if you got on the radio and you're like, guys, fuck the monkey house by the golf course in Coleman, Alabama. And the news are like, local radio host goes on racist tirade. And they're like, find that fucking monkey. He bit me. Like, all this shit. Damn. Sounds real dog whistly, man. You know
dog
mean?
Whistly?
Yeah, it's a dog whistle.
Yeah. Was that post a Tickle Me Elmo incident or after? Dude, you don't know about that when that mad chimpanzee. What? The chimpanzee incident.
He ripped that lady's face off.
Yeah, that tickled me out.
He ripped her face off.
Oh, it was over in a tickle.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, here's the deal. This isn't dog whistle. This is actual animal kingdom. We shouldn't have any human interaction with monkeys, guys.
I agree.
I agree.
Fuck what,
you don't need
one,
to have one.
They have strength beyond anything we can comprehend.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's real bad, guys.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have any wild animals. We shouldn't have any lizards. We shouldn't have snakes.
So why the fuck do you even want a snake or a lizard?
I'm pro lizard.
That's some kink shit.
What do you got?
This motherfucker grabs them.
Do you got one?
I'm pro lizard. If I find one.
I'm pro lizard. Well, I don't think we should
accept Kamala Harris, obviously.
Speaking of lizard, man. I'm not saying we smash chameleons on the sidewalk. I'm just saying
they're
we shouldn't own iguanas. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, dude, iguanas fuck people up, though.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Bite.
Not me. Some bitch. Iguana fuck a bitch up, dude.
I've never been attacked by iguana. I'm not a bitch.
Dude, think about Steve Irwin. That was his whole career, man.
And he's dead.
Yeah.
But stingray.
He's doesn't the best matter. Dude. A wild animal.
Yeah.
Shit, he's
the best wild animal guy we got, and he's dead.
Everybody has an off day, man. You know, even Michael Jordan had a.
I have a 100% success rate of not getting attacked by bears. You know why? I've never been to where bears are.
Same.
I went to Smokies once, and I camped, and I was a kid, and overnight, the bear, you know, they were like, hide your trap. So we're in this camper where we took the trash in, and overnight they're like shaking our camper trying to get in. And I was like, hey man, this is not a fun trip anymore, dude. Yeah. I don't want to survive. I can survive at my house. They're not getting through a locked door. They can break into my camper, so I'm not ever coming back to the Smokies again. You see how that works? I don't want any bears near me.
That sounds like a white trash fairy tale. You know, that's like the wolf blowing the pig's house.
If you get killed
down.
In Gatlinburg, you're going straight to heaven. That is the exact way to transition. My man was doing what a normal white guy does. He was in Gatlinburg, in the Smokies, trying to be one with nature. My man gets a pass. He's in. Yeah.
So you don't fuck with Tiger King then?
He's got his shirt on.
I mean, I'll watch it. Yeah, this is made from that zoo in Oklahoma.
Damn, GW. That's cool, man.
I love Tiger King. I mean, he's a lunatic.
Yeah.
But free him.
Free him.
What was his name? He's a pretty rough individual.
Because of that bitch Carol Baskin.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. I'm not saying she's any better,
well,
but
bad
my man was a bad dude.
Yeah, I mean, but he was a...
I mean, it's the greatest reality show we've ever had in the history of mankind.
I couldn't believe it was real when it came out.
And it hit at the perfect time in COVID when all we could do was watch TV.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, my gosh, man. This is a true story. I watched the Tiger King documentary, and I COVID just happened. I was a senior in high school, and so we didn't go back to school. This came out, and I had an air. I was sleeping on an air mattress in my room at the time. and I got a big-ass 2-liter Sprite and dumped half of it out and then poured a whole bottle of Ed Hardy wine into it, and I drank it while watching this, and I pissed everywhere.
Damn.
What?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
I don't even understand what happened.
I thought podcasts were about sharing experiences.
Hey, thank you for sharing.
Is this not a judgment-free zone?
Where did you get Ed Hardy wine?
Right. It was in the fridge.
And well, I mean, how'd it get to your fridge?
No, I don't
Who
know.
Who sells Ed Hardy wine?
Right. Ross, Dress for Less.
I got a golf, a polo for $20, some dark chocolate, and some Ed Hardy wine. I got it.
It had one of those orange, like, rectangular stickers on it. It said $8.99.
Oh, man.
And somebody bought it as a Christmas gift for my grandma, and she don't drink. So it had probably been in there for, like, 4 years. It was aged red. I don't know why you guys are fucking hating on me for
Ed Hardy.
This.
But you poured that with what?
Sprite.
You mixed it?
I didn't know what I was doing, man.
Yeah,
and then
that,
I just pissed everywhere.
Damn.
But air mattress is a good bed to piss on if you're going to...
Did you throw it away or wash it?
No, man, that's an easy clean.
Oh, no.
Hose?
Yeah, what? Water, yeah. So outside, outdoor.
Anybody else know you pissed? You cleaned it up real well.
No, my ex-girlfriend knew. She wasn't there, but she was the reason I had a fucking air mattress in the first place, dude. She gave me bed bugs, had to throw away my mattress.
Oh, my God. Holy shit.
Classy lady.
Most dudes dating are like, I don't want herpes. I don't want gonorrhea or syphilis. And we're like, my bitch gave me bed bugs. That's a trashy girl right there. I'd rather her give me a real STD than bed bugs. You know what I mean?
For sure.
STD I can deal with. Mm-hmm. Bed bugs, I gotta get a new mattress.
Yeah.
Oh, you've compromised my life.
Yes.
I can shave. I can manscape and get rid of some crap.
Yeah.
I don't want to get a new mattress. I got my mattress like I like it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Start waking up with bites, man. It's a rude awakening,
bed
dude.
Bed bugs.
I hate that shit.
That girl gave me bed bugs.
How long did you have it?
Have bed bugs?
Yeah.
Not long. You know pretty soon after you get them. You check you look up a YouTube video, obviously. Do I have bed bugs? Or like, check the lining in the middle of the mattress.
Yep.
I lifted it up. Just hundreds of them.
Damn.
Had to bug bomb my room. Go, and it's COVID. What are you going to do for 12 hours?
You're
except
right.
Just stand outside and fucking drive around.
Yeah.
You know? That's it. That's
times,
it.
Man.
Sounds amazing.
Have you seen the new videos where you're supposed to get the, you keep the sheet on the bed and you get the iron. Have you seen this?
Mm-mm.
Keep the sheet on the bed. Mm-hmm. You go to a hotel or if any bed you want to check. Keep the sheets on it. Get the iron hot and then iron the corner of the bed because bed bugs are attracted to heat. That's why they come up when you're sleeping. They come up and bite you because your body heat's making it hot.
All the piss.
So if you iron for like 10 minutes, 5 minutes, I don't know what it is. Take the bed sheet off. You'll see them on the top of the mattress because they've came. So you can see if you have bed bugs just by ironing the bed.
Ah.
It's fascinating, and you'll never want to stay in any hotel ever again.
Dude, yeah. That's the biggest fear when I go out and stay in those.
Is bed bugs?
Yeah, because I don't want to bring that shit back, dude. Because you got to do too much.
You have to
do way too much.
Yeah.
To get rid
of
bed bugs.
You got an air mattress.
Yeah, my back's never been the same.
Damn.
It's never been the same.
All right, Cassio.
Yeah.
This is the end of the podcast. Well, we're
no
going
way.
To, yes.
Let's do
what
seven more hours.
You know what?
We could go all day with
you.
Yeah,
we could.
This is going to be our first also all-guest podcast because we won't be shooting an intro with this one. It'll just
hell
be
yeah.
you.
Okay.
On here.
Is that good or bad?
That's great. Thank you so much for this. And anything you got right here in this camera, you're going to say anything you got come up, this will be out next Monday. Anything you want them to follow, so on so on.
When is this out?
Next Monday.
Monday.
What's the date?
I got you.
What is it?
August the 18th.
Okay. Coming up, I got 28th and 29th, I believe. Somewhere. In that, look at my social media. I'll be out with Uncle Laser. I'll be on the tour. We'll be in St. Louis, and we'll be out in Indianapolis. We've got the finals of the X5 Showcase coming up.
Hell yeah.
Podcast every Wednesday at noon for X5. And all the wrestling stuff is at adfreeshows.com. That'll take you to our Patreon and get you the Godfather pod and our two mailbags and any other one-offs I do. That's about it, man.
Yeah.
For right now, just trying to live my best life. I don't have a manual labor job, and that's really my only goal in life.
Hell yeah.
Do everything I can. Not comedy. I'm ordained to do weddings. I DJed at nightclubs for a while.
Licensed realtor.
I literally will do anything but a real job.
Can you please do Brandon's wedding? Can we reserve you for that?
Oh, when is that? Yeah. When is that?
We're planning it out. Should be soon. It's gonna be soon.
Should be soon.
I gotta get some money first.
As soon as he meets a girl, dude.
I just gotta get that money. Gotta get some money.
Do you know your budget for your minister yet?
How much is the minister? I didn't know. You gotta wait, so you got to pay for the minister.
You can get a real one if you go to church. Oh, you can get that one, or you can pay me.
Ooh, okay. Mm-hmm. How much? What's the ballpark?
Wow, we'll figure it out. Might cost you that Ace Ventura shirt.
Oh, fuck yeah, man.
We'll have a spelling bee, and it's more money every word you get wrong. We're going to start with BSK.
Man.
Oh,
BSK. Thank you, man. He's going to make some money, right?
No? You would be too, man.
Yeah, I would be. Not lying.
Dude, we didn't even get to any of this.
We didn't get to Harlem.
I did work for Little Caesars. That was my first job in Los Angeles, too. I worked in Gadsden when I was in high school, and then I was like, when I moved to Los Angeles, what can I do? I was like, you know what? I just need money coming in. So I was like the oldest dude at Little Caesars. I was only 23. But, you know, they're in high school, and they're like, look at this old dude. They're like, what are you doing with your life working at Little Caesars at 23?
That's how I feel in comedy now.
Oh, my God, we got so
look at this old
buddy, mic. You're telling me. I'll see y'all at the next open mic. Oh, man, we missed some good stories.
We missed some. We got some good ones, though.
What if I come back and hang again?
Can you come back and hang again?
Johnny Damon and LeJon Witherspoon from Seven Dust is a great story.
Okay, but save them. You going to come back?
Filthy Rich Camel Drive. Yeah, we did the Kardashians and George Foreman's kids. Woo. What the hell? We got a lot to do there. Oh, there is another Matt Mitchell. That's who you thought you booked today. It's the funny Matt Mitchell. Imagine this. I'm not even the most famous guy in my family and not the most famous Matt Mitchell.
Who's the most famous guy in your family?
My cousin is Yellow Wolf, a rapper.
Oh, shit. I'll be going to his show when he's 3-6 Mafia Project.
Ryan,
Pat-tah.
So imagine this. I've did the Tonight Show and everything, and like at least I'm the most famous guy in my family. And then my cousin Yellow Wolf comes on, I'm like, fuck this guy. Like, you're killing me, dude. I'm out on the Tonight Show, and now you're just going to blow right past me. You're dirty, dude.
Hell yeah.
I love we got bed bug control up on the Google screen. This is amazing. I love you guys. BBC, bed bug
control.
I'm a BBC expert, bed bug control. Yeah.
See you next week.
There he is.
Next week.
I don't know what we're supposed to do.
Fans.